right. Good morning. My name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors of the church. It is good to worship together this morning. Thank you to the music team for leading us in song. It's good to be able to worship together this morning. How are you responding to the good news of Christmas? How are you responding to the good news of Christmas? This is the question for each one of us this morning. This is the question for each one of us throughout this Christmas season. Honestly, this is one way to phrase the question that we need to be pondering really in all of our lives. How are you responding to the good news of Christmas? And so some of you are even interacting with that question a bit, and you're like, good news? Like, what are you talking about? We just sang some weird stuff, that a baby is a king. We sang some, what's, I'm pretty sure, Latin, in excelsis Deo. What are we saying? Like, so you may be coming into this with some confusion, and you're trying to figure out what in the world's going on here. You may come into this where everything's just so familiar, you don't even notice it. And even the songs we sing or the things that we're going to read in the Bible this morning, it's so familiar to you, you don't even see it anymore. There have been studies that say once you see something three times, you stop seeing it, right? And so if you have noticed that shirt that you threw on the floor 3 days ago and you walked past it, the fourth time you walked past it, you didn't even see it anymore, right? There's like pieces of furniture in your house that haven't moved, and you're like, you don't even see it. If somebody were to take it away, you'd be like, whoa, there's like an empty space there. Like, what's going on? All right. And so for you, it may be familiarity. For some of you, you may be responding to Christmas with like, I just got to get through this thing. There are 4,000 things on my to-do list right now, and I just got to get all this stuff done, and I've got to get through it. Some of you may be thinking about the Christmas season, and you're just like, you have this dread of like, oh man, I'm going to interact with family members that I haven't talked to in a while, and they're going to bring up all this stuff, or I'm wondering if I need to bring up all this stuff, and right, and you're just kind of dreading it. Some of you are processing through pain or mourning. Maybe it's a first year without a loved one. Maybe it's just a continual reminder that somebody's not here with you. Maybe for you, you're just really thankful. You get to be around family and you're just excited about family and those types of things. So we all kind of come into the Christmas season differently, but I want to focus us in, and God really wants us to focus in on the incarnation of Jesus, the good news that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners, and we are all responding to that good news, and we're all responding in some type of way as we interact with that good news. This morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, so if you have a Bible, I encourage you to grab it and follow along with us, Luke chapter 2. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a hardcover black Bible somewhere nearby. If you do not own a Bible, we would encourage you to take that one with you and consider it our gift to you. And we would encourage you to open it up and read it, and maybe Luke would be a good place to start. Start at the beginning of the book of Luke and read the whole story of Luke. It wouldn't take you more than, you know, an hour and a half or so to read the whole book. Luke wrote it. He says this is an orderly account of the things that have happened concerning Jesus Christ. And then if you come back and join us week after week in the new year, we're going to pick back up on our study of the book of Acts. And that's the second half of the book of Luke written by the same author. But this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. It's a familiar passage. It's a passage that you have heard most likely if you have been to a church gathering somewhere in or around the Christmas season. It's also a passage that you have heard if you have watched a Charlie Brown Christmas, right? And you have heard Linus quote a significant portion of the passage this morning. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start at the beginning of the chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the good news. Thank you for declaring the good news to these shepherds. Thank you for carrying along Luke to record these events in an orderly account for us. And Lord, thank you for preserving your word that it can be read by us. And Lord, I pray that you would cause each one of us to respond to this good news in the ways that we need to. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Again, the question for each one of us to consider this morning is, how are you responding to the good news of Christmas? As we move through the story, we're going to see what the good news is, and then we're going to see the three responses to this good news that the shepherds and a few others make. What are the three responses? And by God's grace, this morning, all three of the responses that we will see in our story are good and right and proper responses for us to follow into, for us to emulate, for us to copy, right? Sometimes in the scriptures, we see in a story an example, a response, something that's happening that we're like, don't do that one, avoid that one. This one are all things like, let's do that. Let's follow these shepherds. So first, we see in verses 1 through 14, verses 1 through 14, we see the good news of Christmas. To summarize it as concisely as I can, the Savior has come to you today. That's good news. The Savior has come to you today. The good news of Christmas is that the Savior has come to you. And that's good news because the context is that we need a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. The person sitting next to you needs a Savior. Israel in first century, Israel needed a Savior. These shepherds needed a Savior. Everyone who has ever existed, the billions and billions of human beings that have ever walked the earth, need a Savior. Why? Because we're in sin. We have missed the mark in what God desires for our lives. We have missed the mark of perfection that the Lord lays out for us. We are sinners. We have sinned. We have also been sinned against. We live surrounded by sinners who are constantly sinning against one another and against us. Also, the creation, the scripture tells us the creation is groaning, and so there are even natural disasters, and there are things about this world that are not how they ought to be. And so we live among that. The Bible uses metaphors like slavery. We are in bondage to our sin. I think Andrew just used that word a moment ago. We're in darkness. We are in spiritual death. We are in separation. There's a chasm between us and God. We get these pictures of the grave to describe our hopeless state without Jesus. The Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins apart from Jesus. The Bible says that we are in darkness and we need the light of God to shine into our lives. The Bible says that we have a veil over our eyes where we can't even see truth, and we need the veil to be lifted so that we can see the truth of who God is. These are the pictures we get throughout the scriptures of our need for a Savior. And these angels show up and they tell these shepherds that a Savior has been born. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." But you notice he says that this Savior that has been born is for you. Verse 11, "For unto you has been born a Savior." You see, a Savior showing up for somebody else is just kind of interesting information, isn't it? Right? Like, that's cool that there's a Savior saving other people. But if we realize that we need saving, then we need a Savior who's coming to us. We need a Savior for us. For unto us is born. For unto you is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Also notice that this good news is for today, right? This good news is for today. For unto you is born this day. Right? I think so often we get like our timeline all kind of confused. And the question I have us pondering this morning is, how are you responding, right? Present tense, how are you responding? I think a lot of times if you're a Christian and or you call yourself a Christian, you think of like, okay, I've responded to the fact that Jesus has come. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. I've responded. I was a kid and I responded, or I was a young adult and I responded, and we kind of put it in the past. Or maybe you're thinking like, well, Christmas isn't really till Thursday, Brian, so I don't know why you're quite talking about this yet. You're kind of getting the cart ahead of the horse. You're getting a little ahead of the game here. We're waiting. We lit candles. The Christ candle isn't even there yet, right? So we're like longing for Christmas, and I got a lot of stuff to do between now and Christmas Day, and so we're just kind of getting ahead of ourselves. So maybe later I'll think about responding to Jesus, right? Maybe I'll start to think about, and then, okay, in the new year, I'll respond to Jesus. Or maybe you're a kid and you're like me. I grew up in church. Grew up in church my whole life. My parents took me to church literally every Sunday. I can't fathom a Sunday that we were not deathly ill, that we were not at church. And so I kind of heard the gospel, and I kind of always was like, yeah, this sounds right. this sounds true. It was just kind of always told to me as true. But my response was like, yeah, I'll do that later. When I'm an adult, then I'll walk as a Christian. And so for you, you might be like, yeah, how I respond to the coming of Jesus Christ, that's a past thing. Or you may say, well, how I'm going to respond to Jesus, that's a future thing. But what we need to realize is for the shepherds, the call was like, no, a Savior has been born today. This day a Savior has been born. And there's a responsibility for these shepherds to respond. There's a responsibility, and they're going to respond, and we're going to see their responses in a moment. But this news demands a response, and this news demands a response today. It demanded a response 2,000 years ago. It will demand a response as long as this human existence is happening. This news demands a response. Before we get to the response, though, I want you to see something else about this news. It is both magnificent and it is extremely unexpected. There are so many surprises in this passage. And again, if this is a familiar passage to you, you're just like, I could almost quote it without even looking at it. And I may even be putting some words in there from a translation that I grew up listening, read time and time again. But there are so many surprises in this passage. I'm just going to highlight a couple of them. So these shepherds, and Andrew was like doing this stuff as well. Like, man, these are shepherds doing just normal shepherd stuff. They're out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. Who knows what shepherds are doing, probably waiting for the dawn, probably, you know, making fun of each other, probably grumbling and complaining. Like, they're doing what shepherds do. And the Lord is going to send to them an angel. And the text says that, verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds. There's a surprise that an angel of the Lord is going to show up to these marginalized, just out doing shepherd stuff, shepherds. So an angel shows up and it says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. And if you're not real familiar with your Bible knowledge, the glory of the Lord is all throughout the Old Testament. The glory of the Lord, just one example. Throughout like the whole second half of the book of Exodus, God is teaching his people to build the tabernacle. They're going to build this very special tent, and that's where they're going to worship the Lord. And they go through all these things, and there's very detailed things about how they're supposed to build this tabernacle and construct this tabernacle. All these things are happening. And at the very end of all that, they do exactly what God says. And time again, it says they did precisely what God told the people through Moses to do. And at the very end, the culmination of all of it is that the glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle. You're like, okay, well, that's interesting. Well, later on in the story, we see that Moses, he enters into the tabernacle to converse with the Lord, and the glory of the Lord causes Moses' face to shine when he leaves the presence of the glory of the Lord. And the people, they are interacting with Joseph. They're like, this is too much, dude. Like, you've been in the presence of the glory of the Lord. We need you to, like, put a veil over your face because you've been with the glory of the Lord. So, like, Moses, with the glory of the Lord, comes out. The people aren't interacting with the glory of the Lord. They're just interacting with Moses, who has interacted with the glory of the Lord. And they're like, dude, can we put a veil over you? This is too much for us. That's the glory of the Lord. And this angel shows up, and the glory of the Lord shows around these shepherds. They are filled with great fear, as one would be. And the angel brings them this news. So this news is magnificent. It is also completely unexpected, because the angel shows up, says, I bring you good news. This is for all the people. For unto you a Savior is born in the city of David. And they're probably like, the city of David? You mean Bethlehem? So the Savior's come to Bethlehem? Yeah, he's going to be wrapped in swaddling cloths, and he's laid in a manger. And you might be like, okay, well, I know what a manger is. Well, yeah, it's a feeding trough, right? It's this wooden thing that they would put hay in for animals to eat out of. That's where they laid this Savior who is going to bring peace to the people. And, you know, if it was me, so again, this is surprising, right? Magnificent, surprising. So, like, if I'm a shepherd in that moment, and Luke is inviting us to, like, come alongside the shepherds and experience this story with the shepherds. Like, if I'm there in that moment, I'm like, I got questions. I have so many questions, Angel. I have questions about what in the world you're saying to me. And before they can even ask any questions or respond in any kind of way, this multitude of the heavenly host, so multitude, lots more angels, heavenly host, you could translate that word host to armies, right? This heavenly host of angels shows up and starts singing. Again, magnificent, surprising, unexpected things are happening. And yet, this is the good news. The good news is that a Savior has come. The good news is that a Savior has come. He demands a response. And He is for us. Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So the news is that you need a Savior. The good news is that the Savior has come. And His name is Jesus Christ. How are you responding to that news? That's the question for us. Our author, Luke, is going to lead us into answering that question by placing us next to these shepherds, bringing us along in the response of these shepherds. And so as you watch and see the shepherds' responses, we also need to consider our own responses and how we are responding to this good news of Christmas. So how did these shepherds respond? Pick it up in verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And so the first response we see there in verses 15 and 16, the first response is go and see the Savior with haste. Go and see the Savior with haste. My assessment of our present moment in world history, 21st century America, is that our initial response to massive consequential news, news that is going to alter our lives and the lives of the people that are interacting with this news, our like immediate, most common response is, yeah, that's interesting. Move on, right? Like, we're so bombarded with all kinds of news, some of which affects us, some of which probably does not affect us, some of which we're not really sure if it's going to affect us or not. And so our most common response is like, that's interesting, let me move on to something else, right? And so we have all sorts of ways that we do that. We can distract ourselves, we can numb ourselves, we can just bombard ourselves with all sorts of things. Right, so our most common response is meh. Our most common response is distraction, those types of things. But we need not do that. We actually need to respond how the shepherds respond. We need to go and examine the truth. We need to go and see the Savior. And we need to do so. I love that Luke records us that they went with haste. They went in a hurry. And honestly, most of the time, hurry messes us up. Most of the time when we're in a hurry and we're in a rush, that's a bad thing. But here we see that going and examining the truth about Jesus Christ, that is a good thing, and we should do that with haste. We should do that in a hurry. We should get really serious about doing that today. These shepherds go and seek out the truths that the Lord has made known to them through the angel's declaration. They don't decide to wait till tomorrow. They don't decide to figure out some other thing, and maybe we'll do that in the new year. That sounds like a good New Year's resolution that we could adopt. Maybe we need to go and have a meeting and discuss what we need to do about this. No. They go, and they go with haste. They respond. They go and find the Savior. Now, our response is a little bit different than these shepherds, all right? If you jumped on an airplane and went to Bethlehem right now, and you're trying to find a baby lying in a manger, and his young mother and father, Joseph and Mary, you're going to find some actors maybe portraying that. You might find some statues portraying that type of thing, but you're not going to find actual Jesus lying in a manger with his parents, right? So for us, it's a little bit different. And so the question we should be asking is where will I go to find Jesus? What active steps can I be doing with haste to go and see the Savior, and to do so quickly, to do so with haste? What am I supposed to do to go and find Jesus? Three things. Number one, you will find Jesus in active steps of faith. You will find Jesus in active steps of faith. And so if you know something that Jesus is calling you to do, you taking active steps in faith to carry that out is going to be one of the ways that you will find Jesus. Some of you are here this morning because you're I don't know what to do. Church sounds like they're supposed to have the answer. I'm going to go to church. So that's an active step of faith. Let me go and press in to that. Right, taking active steps of faith, whatever it is. Maybe you're here this morning because you're man, that guy or that gal seems to be a Christian. Let me hang out near them. Right? And so that's an active step of faith. So whatever that is, whatever God calls you to do, take an active step of faith, submitting to the will of God that you know. That's the first way, an active thing that we do in response, to go and see the Savior. The second thing we do to go and see the Savior in our day is in reading the Bible for yourself. Read the Bible for yourself. The Bible is finding its purpose and its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Anything you're reading in the Bible, it's all pointing giant flashing lights, sometimes giant flashing lights that are easy to see and understand. Sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to see and understand, but it's all pointing to Jesus. The resurrected Jesus, he takes this trip with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he opens up the Old Testament scriptures and he shows them all the things in the Old Testament scriptures that point to Jesus. Then you get to the New Testament, and the first four books of the New Testament are all about the life and the ministry and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. And then the rest of your Bible is the outflow, the overflow, what happens in the life of the church flowing out of the life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. It's all about Jesus from beginning to end, from cover to cover, all 66 books. It's all about Jesus, and it is truth. It's truth. All scripture, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God. And it's profitable for training, for rebuke, for training in righteousness. So if you want to go and see the Savior, read the Bible for yourself. Read the Bible for yourself. The third active thing to do to go and see the Savior is to sit under the faithful preaching and teaching of God's Word in the context of an in-person local church. You're like, that's a lot to say. That I'm trying to take notes here. And your last one, read the Bible for yourself. That was pretty short. This one's pretty long. Well, one of the challenges here is in our day, we have to add some like clarifying things, right? We got to add some things. So sit under the faithful preaching and teaching of God's Word in the context of an in-person local church. Listen, I get it. You can hear better preachers on the internet. I get it. They're like, you're not going to offend me if you're like, you know, that guy's a lot better preacher than you. You will not offend me. There's more experienced preachers. There's more educated preachers, all those types of things. But guess what's different about here? I'm going to stand right here after the service and you can come up and ask me a question. You can text in a question and me and Eddie are going to stand up here at the end of the service and we're going to initially start to try to answer your question. You can join in this church in membership and you can get to know other Christians that you can actually see them face to face, right? We don't have to like be relegated to video calls. We don't have to be relegated to just text messages and phone calls and those types of things. We can actually be in one another's homes. We can see each other face to face. We can like put a hand on somebody who is struggling. We can rejoice with someone who is rejoicing. We can grieve with someone who is grieving. We're in the context of an in-person local church. Praise God. Praise God, we can be with one another. Man, I know it's been a few years now, but it was awful. I preached a sermons to an empty congregation with a little camera like set up on a tripod right there during the restrictions surrounding COVID. It was awful. It was awful. It was bad. In-person, local church. Sit under faithful preaching and teaching. Whatever it is, we need to press in, all three of those things, press in to get to know Jesus. We say we exist as a church to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. We need to know Jesus, take active steps of faith, press into His Word, press into one another where we can learn the Word together. There's a beautiful promise in the Old Testament. In the book of Jeremiah, he's one of the prophets. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your hearts." So if you're like, "I want to see Jesus," you will find him when you seek him with all your heart. I just gave you three ways to do so. So that's response number one. I know there were three subpoints. It's okay. That was response one, number one, press in, seek the Lord. The second response from the shepherds we see in verses 17 and 18. Read it again, verse 17 and 18. When they, the shepherds, saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard the shepherds' testimony about what was going on wondered at what the shepherds told them. They wondered. And so response number two that these shepherds display for us is go and tell the world that the Savior has come. Go and tell the world that the Savior has come. So these shepherds, some of you are going to be like, this isn't quite fair, but track along with me. So the shepherds, they got an angel, they got the glory of the Lord, and then they got a multitude of angels giving them the good news, right? Other people that were hanging around near Mary and Joseph and the baby, and they're just kind of gathering around, and these shepherds show up. They're like, "Hey, we got some news about this baby here. Y'all might not understand." Of course, Mary and Joseph, they've already talked to their own angel, but there's other bystanders there. And these shepherds, they tell them the good news, right? So the shepherds heard from angel, glory of the Lord, multitude of angels. These other folks, what do they get? They get shepherds telling them the good news. And you might be like, that's not fair. That's not fair. You may pray something like, "Lord, if you're true, give me a multitude of angels." And he's like, "Eh, you're stuck with your friend. You're stuck with your dad. You're stuck with your mom. You're stuck with your coworker that's going to tell you about Jesus. They're going to tell you. Same news. Same news, multitude of angels, or just the person who told you, right? Same news. But that's not even really what this response is. The response for us is to be like the shepherds and go and tell people, right? So if God is placing on your heart somebody that you know, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a family member, somebody you know, and you are praying to God, Lord, I want them to be saved. God, would you save this person that I care for? Would you save this person that I love? Lord, would you do it? And he says, yeah, I want to do it. I want everyone to be saved. Keep praying for the salvation of that person. Keep doing it. Keep praying. So God responds in that way. You're like, awesome. Lord, I got a plan. I've been reading Luke chapter 2, and here's my plan. What if you sent like a whole multitude of angels to go to my friend and tell them the good news about Jesus? And I think the most likely response that God's going to say, I got a new idea. I'm going to send you. You're like, I think they'd listen to a multitude of angels. You're like, yeah, they're stuck with you. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. God has placed you where he has placed you to tell people about Jesus. Tell them the Savior has come, and you ain't it. You're not the Savior. You're just the messenger. That's it. Go and tell the world the Savior has come. We really need two just kind of big categories in our minds, our neighbors and the nations. Right, so neighbors, people you interact with on a regular basis, like actual next-door neighbor, actual roommate, actual family people, right? Actual coworkers, actual like neighbors, people like right next to you in your context. And then the nations, we're trying to get to the ends of the earth as we've been seeing in the book of Acts. Go and tell the world the Savior has come. That's the second response. What's the third response? Pick it up in verse 18. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary, his mother, treasured up all these things. She pondered them in her heart. The shepherds, they returned seemingly back to their field to keep watch over their flock. But what are they doing now? They're glorifying God. They're praising God for all that they had heard and all that they had seen as it had been told to them. Response number three is this: wonder, treasure, ponder, glorify, praise God. All those verbs. Do all those things. Wonder about who God is. Treasure up what he's doing in your heart. Ponder. Think deeply about the things of God. Glorify God. Praise God. The people who heard the testimony of the shepherds and the shepherds themselves, this is what they're doing. This is how they're responding to the good news that Christ has come. Mary, Jesus' young mother, watched these events happening. She treasured them in her heart. She pondered them. She observed them. She thought deeply about them, and she loved the Lord more deeply because of it. The shepherds glorified God. They praised God. These are the ongoing, lasting responses of the good news of Christmas. It is not a beautiful testimony for Christians to be walking around grumbling and complaining and bemoaning and or just running to the next thing. We should be doing these types of things that we see exampled in our text, wondering and praising and treasuring and pondering and glorifying God. These are the good and right responses to the good news of Christmas. If you're wondering, what am I supposed to do for these last 10 days of 2025? What am I supposed to do during this Christmas season? What am I supposed to do in 2026? What am I supposed to be when I grow up? What am I supposed to do after the military? What am I supposed to do in my early young adult life? Like, what am I supposed to be doing? This is not the time to run around with your hair on fire, trying to accomplish all the things that you wish you would have accomplished in 2025 in the last 10 days, right? This is not the time. Like, it didn't get done. it's probably not getting done, right? So if you had some big project, like I'm going to write a book this year, like it's probably not getting written now, right? Well, I'm going to read the whole Bible, and you're going to go try to do that in 10 days because you got through Genesis chapter 1 on January 1st, and you're like, man, I haven't picked it up, and so let me read the whole Bible in these last 10 days. It's probably not going to happen. It's not the time to run around with your hair on fire trying to accomplish all the stuff. This is probably not the time to hurriedly fix all of your family drama. Okay? Maybe we needed this like 2 or 3 weeks ago because some folks are already visiting with their family, right? This is probably not the time to hurriedly try to fix it. We got to fix it before the end of the year, right? All those family dynamics, all the things, all the stuff you got going on, it did not build up over the past week. It is not getting solved over the next week. This is probably not the time to fix all of that. This is certainly not the time to drink yourself into oblivion in your barracks room or in your apartment by yourself. You're just like, I'm alone and I don't want to interact with people, and so I'm just going to numb myself with substance. It's not the time for that. It's not the time to chronicle all of your failings and shortcomings and beat yourself up over them. All right. It's helpful to know, hey, this didn't go great over the past year. This hasn't gone great over my life, but that's great for you to like journal about that, pray to God about that, confess sins, to make plans of what that might be. But this is not the time to just like go into this deep, deep spiral about those things. This is not the time, on the converse side of that, to brag to everyone, like, look at all this amazing stuff that I did. I did this, 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 this. Look how amazing I am. This is not the time for that. Again, is it appropriate to journal those things in thanksgiving before God? Sure. But it's not the time to, like, try to prove to everybody how awesome you are. It's not the time for any of that. This is the time to seek Jesus. He is the Savior that you desperately need. This is the time to tell people about Jesus. They're listening. There's Oh Holy Night is playing in like stores right now. Fall on your knees at the Savior. You're like, whoa, man, that just played in Walmart. Like, do you know what that's saying? There's an opportunity. There's lights all over the place, right? You're like, hey, did you know why we use lights at Christmas time? Because we were in darkness, and the light of the world has come into the darkness. His name is Jesus, and we need to submit ourselves to Jesus. You drive by, and you're like, hey, look, there's a manger scene. You know what that's all about? That baby, that little baby right there, that's the Savior of the world. Let's learn about him together. It's time to tell people about Jesus. It's time to wonder about Jesus. It's time to treasure the realities of Jesus in our hearts. It's time to glorify and praise God for sending Jesus to us. He is the Savior that we desperately need. These are how we are to be responding to the good news of Christmas. These are the good and proper and right responses to the good news of Christmas. How are you responding this season? I love you guys. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know that any of this is our default. If we just kind of go through the motions for the next week or so, I don't think any of this is our default. So, Lord, I ask you to do the supernatural in each one of us. Lord, would you focus our minds, focus our attentions, focus our actions, focus our steps of faith to press in to figure out who you are, Jesus, to know you, to seek the truth about you, to submit our lives to your word. Lord, I pray that you would supernaturally open up our mouths, that you would cause all of the hindrances that we have inside of us to speak the truth, to speak the good news that the Savior has come. Lord, would you loosen our tongues and open up our mouths to proclaim that the Savior has come? Would you do that? In the Old Testament, you caused a donkey to speak truth. Maybe you could use us as well. Lord, would you fill our hearts and our minds and our mouths and our songs with joy and praise and glory and wonder and amazement? Would you fill our minds to ponder you? Lord, would you do all these things in our lives and more? Would you do far more abundantly than all we could ask or imagine? It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.